That's Tony Bennett, and everybody said that's the song you want to sing for Jimmy Breslin, which he did. I hope Breslin appreciated it. I'm sure he did. By the way, Breslin had a book with a beautiful title. He had a brain operation, and he titled the book, I Want to Thank My Brain for Remembering Me. I believe we're joined now by Marceline, after I had said Ann Garrison. But are you there, Marceline?
Yes, I'm there. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. It's great to be talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've been doing outstanding work on behalf of a political prisoner in Rwanda, Victoire Ingabire.
Yes.
And you have an organization, the International Women's Network for Democracy and Peace. Tell us about what you've been doing recently. I know you gave an award recently. We'd like to know who won it and why.
Yes, at the occasion of the Women's International Day, we give a prize which bears the name of Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza since 2012. So this year it was on 11th March.
Mm-hmm.
The prize was awarded to four people that you might know. The first one is Anjan Sundaram, who is a known author of, among other books, Bad News, Last Journalist in a Dictatorship, a book that he wrote relating Rwandese press.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is David Himbara. He is a Rwandese citizen living in Canada, mm-hmm. and who is now publishing too much work about mm-hmm. The Great Lakes region, and especially Rwanda. And he also advocates for Victoire Ingabire. The third person is Miss Benedicte Kumbi Njoko. She is from the DRC,
mm-hmm.
and she lives in Geneva, and she is a human rights defender, both for the Congo and for Rwanda, and also for the Great Lakes region.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth person is Alain de Brouwer, who is Belgian, who has been a member of European Parliament. He is retired now, but he goes on in defending human rights, and he advocates also for Victoire Ingabire.
Uh-huh.
Those are the four people who got the award this year.
So you had an evening, like a full, like you had a dinner and speeches, and there's a world. So now there's a worldwide campaign for Victoire. Can you tell us, by the way, what her status is now? She's been how long in prison, and what do you know about her condition?
Yes, this is her seventh year in prison, because she was imprisoned in 2010, and now her conditions are worsening day after day. Because some years ago, she used to live in a private room, but since she wrote the book that you know, I don't know if you are aware that she wrote a book entitled Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza, but it's a book about his memories in prison together with her trial. And since that book came out, the authorities were not very happy, and they removed her from that private room. Now she lives with a group of 800 women in prison. And, she's not very cared about very much by the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people who are supposed to care for her are harassed every day.
Mm-hmm. So she no longer, they have an issue there in terms of even accessing food, right? There's a system where people can bring, families bring food, which is a very unhappy way to do it. Am I right?
Yes. Even though she has got a medical certificate requesting that food be brought to her by her team, sometimes prison authorities don't want that they come and give her. So two or three weeks ago, they were moving the prisoners from the current prison now, the prison which is called 1930, because it was built in 1930 by the Belgians. At that time, they are moving main section to another prison. And that day, I think during 2 days, they didn't allow his team to bring the food in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, that is, I hope that organizations that claim to care about human rights, like Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, I think Amnesty has noted her case, right? They're aware and have said that she's not getting proper treatment.
Yes, sometimes, yes. When I think that when they have time, they do it. But we can say also that there are members of European Parliament who managed to go to Kigali, but they were not allowed to see her because the authorities told them that they had not duly applied for the appointment.
Did not make the proper.
Yeah.
Members of the European Parliament were not allowed to visit her.
No, they were not allowed to.
Now, there's another story, very recent now, that she was to appear or had an appeal before an African Union court, if I've got it right. What happened to that?
Yes, it's true. She was supposed to, her case, of course she can't go. The Rwandan government refused that she goes to Arusha in Tanzania for her case. So it was supposed to be heard on the 16th March, but it was postponed for the 22nd of March.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Rwandan authorities, the Rwandan government, and the National Commission for the Fight Against Genocide have decided to withdraw from the case, which opposes them to Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza.
So
now we don't know what will happen, because it was due for March 22. Now the government of Rwanda said that together with the National Commission for the Fight Against Genocide decided to withdraw from the case. So we are waiting for the decision that will be taken by the court.
Did they say they don't recognize any longer the jurisdiction? They had been agreed to this jurisdiction at one time. So now they say they don't, or are they saying just that only for this case?
They say that they allege lack of impartiality. It's what they are saying. That I think that they can't say that the court is impartial before that, before the beginning of the debate.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that maybe they have tried to intimidate judges and so on, as it is used to, and maybe it didn't work. So is it why they pull out of the court?
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to the awards, can you tell us what sort of message came across there? From the speakers about Victoire, and are they determined to, like some of them have written about her, and spoken at, on television, radio, yes. Whatnot. What sort of plans are they making?
Yes, on that day, one member of European Parliament, Mr. Rosa Esterhaz Ferragut, was among those ladies who had gone to Kigali and who were refused the entry to the prison. This year, she accepted to be our guest of honor. So she was there and she talked about Victoire and she talked about her trip to Kigali and how they were refused the entry to the prison. And there were also previous winners of the prize and who talked about Victoire, for example, Patrick Mbeko from DRC. And there was also, I think not all of them didn't manage to come to the event, but all those who came said something about Victoire. And Anne Garrison also has come from the United States, and she talked about her work towards the Victoire's case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which has been very outstanding, by the way, I must say.
Yes.
Now, by the way, there was some confusion. Anne is not there, is she?
Yes, she's with me. She's.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
She's still with me. She will go back to the United States this week. She's still with us.
Well, I know the two of you know each other, and you have the phone.
Yes.
Are you going? Is Anne going to speak to us too?
Oh yes. She's waiting for your call.
Yeah. Well, Marceline, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
I thank you very much, too. And nice day.
Nice day to you. You're doing great work.
Thank you.
I think that Anne may be joining us. We're going to find out. Is Anne Garrison there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Phil.
Hi. This has been my little day of surprises. nice to talk to you, Anne.
Yes.
We had a very nice talk with Marceline. She's a great organizer, isn't she?
Oh, she is a great organizer. You know, one of the things that I said to the group was that the party is just great political organizing. I think I told you that last time. It is, and there's a little something to add to that.
Uh-huh.
I had a great conversation today with some young Rwandans here in Belgium, including, well, I think they all write for Jambo News. You know, Jambo News, their media production.
Mm-hmm.
And the president of Jambo, Natasha, she is very concerned with empowering women.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a long conversation about this, which it's a subject that always confuses me because I'm so often responding to the fact that we get women in office and it doesn't get any better.
Yes.
And it was not going to get any better with Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
We
agree on that one for
sure.
Yes,
we do agree on that one. But it seems there is something of a divide here in that the International Women's Network for Democracy and Peace organized the Victoire Prize,
mm-hmm.
But the FDU, Victoire's political party, even though Victoire is the leader, it is still more of a male organization.
Mm-hmm.
And Natasha was talking about empowering women, and somehow we got to the conclusion that by organizing the Victoire Prize, the women had out-organized the men.
Yes. I am not surprised.
And also, I have, from this conversation with these three young people, I have three cards. I'm going to give you these contacts, send them to you.
Great.
Because these are very articulate young people, and I realize that, well, naturally, they have a somewhat different perspective. Because they're the next generation. Most of them left Rwanda at age 5.
Mm-hmm. That is, I'm very, I think that's always true, and it's just, you know, maybe we need an anthropologist to explain these things to us, but politicians often forget that. Hillary's one who clearly forgot, but young people have their own ideas and their own eyes and ears and make up their own minds. You know, by the way, Anne, on this issue of tokenism, which I know is one of the irritating things in our political culture here, Kagame's way of, one of the ways he sells himself, and a lot of his apologists in the West like to say, half of the parliament of Rwanda are women. But the sad part is that they all sound like Kagame, and not a one of them has ever raised a word about Victoire Ingabire, a woman who only wanted to be a political candidate.
Right. You know, I'll tell you something funny about that, Phil. And you can't make this up. When the Nobel Peace Prize was given to a Yemeni woman, she was a peace activist, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf from Liberia, and another woman whose name I'm afraid I can't remember, Kagame had someone write an editorial in the New Times saying that he deserved that prize. He should have gotten that prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, because he had so many women in his parliament and had made so many achievements regarding gender equality.
Yes. It really ought to. Like, yeah.
You can't make that stuff up.
No, there's a comparable thing in the Gulf states recently. They had I saw a picture. You can find it at Charmaine Narwani, one of the great writers. She had a picture of a meeting. And one of the Gulf monarchies to talk about the women question in their society, and it was a photograph of about 10 men sitting in big chairs.
Oh, and they were all talking about the women question.
Yeah, and the subject was, you know, the progress of women, and I'm sure they were all against it, but it just that's the nutty world we live in. Did you speak, Anne, at this gathering?
Yes, I did.
And what did you say?
Well, let's see. I apologize because I still don't speak French, and I feel terrible about that.
That's what Americans do when they go
to
Europe.
That's what Americans do. Yes, it is. We're arrogant. But, you know, you can go from New York City to California and speak only one language.
Yes, right. And but it's now mandatory.
Yeah, so I apologized. I also said that I was reading David Himbara's book, and I'm actually reading Victoria's book because since it's not an American language, it's a European language, and I've studied a bit of French, I can actually read it with a dictionary to look up anything I don't understand because there's so many cognates. Mm-hmm. I told them what brilliant organizing it was. I told them how Rwanda has entered the U.S. narrative. As
very important.
our failure that compels us to go to war evermore, to save other people, to violate other nations' national sovereignty, and save other people from their own governments when we're really going after their resources. And today, when I was talking to these young people, I said, geez, it must be terrible not only to have your story so distorted, but then to have it made a centerpiece of this war-making ideology.
Yes.
And, you know, I also said I don't think Victoire wanted to go up against anything that large. She said she was going back home because she couldn't stand to see her people suffering, continuing to suffer that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she intended to challenge the enormity of the U.S. and NATO war machine, which is constantly distorting the Rwandan story, as we know, as you know, our failure and the reason we have to bomb Libya and Syria and everything. So that's up to us.
Yeah.
That's up to us to challenge that.
Well, I think we're doing it. You're doing it. Your writing is consistent, and it really has been a watermark. for everybody else, I think.
Oh, thank you.
And we thank you very much for saying rightly that Rwanda is part of the narrative, and so we have a big responsibility. Ann Harrison, thank you very, very much, and Marceline, and we look forward to talking to you again soon about Victoire Ingabire and Rwanda.
Okay, and I'm going to send you the addresses for these young Rwandans you should speak to.
That's a promise. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.